Organizers, how you guys doing? Welcome, welcome. So glad you're here. Want to welcome those online as well. You know, a couple things off the highlights. First of all, whatever Pastor Marty says, just blow it off, you know. Just don't pay attention to it. Although all that what he said is true. I was his math teacher. I did give him a D. What you saw with his report card, he texted me on Friday. He's like, I found my actual report card from 40 years ago when I gave him a D. So that was actually generous. He deserved an F. I gave him a D, whatever. And then, you know, I also want to piggyback off the baptisms. You know, we do our water baptisms about every 8 weeks or so, 6 to 8 weeks. And, you know, we had, by God's grace, we had 133 people make public commitments to follow Jesus on Christmas Eve, during our Christmas Eve services. And if you're one of those 133, man, a really important next step for you is to be water baptized. So all you have to do, take our water baptism class. It's online, vineyardnorthphoenix.com. Sign up sometime this week to be water baptized. We would love, love, love to be celebrating your water baptism next weekend. And even if you aren't one of those 133, but if you're a follower of Jesus, and yet for whatever reason you've never been water baptized since you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's an important next step for you to take. So please sign up, take the class. We'd love to celebrate you next weekend. All right, we're going to receive our offering. So if the ushers want to come forward, I hope that you're beginning 2024 in the right way financially, you know, doing your money God's way. And part of God's way, obviously, is giving back to God financially. I hope that you're beginning the year the right way with your finances. I hope you're being very regular, faithful, and generous in that. That's a big part of being a disciple of Jesus. We're going to pause for a moment. Let's pray together, ask God to bless our offerings. Whenever we give those back to Him, our tithes and offerings, whether it's today or, you know, I do it automatically, it's automated. I know many of you do as well. Whenever we do, let's just pray that God would bless our money, that He would use it for His glory. And let's also open our hearts to God right now and say, God, would you speak to me out of the Bible today, okay? Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray that whenever we give back financially to You, that You would use the money that we give to You, God. Use the money to change the world one life at a time. Thank You, God. Bless our finances and bless us in being faithful to You with our finances. And now, God, as we look into Your word and we worship You by studying Your word, I pray, Lord, that You would speak very clearly, supernaturally, into every heart, every mind, whether they're online or in person. God, whatever You want to say to us, I pray that You'd do that supernaturally through me. So come, Lord, have Your way, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, have you ever been around somebody who said they were a follower of Jesus, and yet the more you watch their life, it became really apparent to you that they weren't a very effective follower of Jesus? Have you ever seen anybody like that? Don't look at them if they're in the room, but do you know? Yeah, most of us, we've seen people like that. And I know, you know, as our church has grown over the years, and especially, you know, since COVID, I know that we, at least I'm sure, we probably have added some pretty ineffective followers of Jesus to our ranks here at the Vineyard. And I know, being part of a church like the Vineyard and being an ineffective follower of Jesus is really difficult to do, to remain ineffective in your walk with Jesus. Because, you know, you hear people talking about living together in community with some other followers of Jesus through a small group or through Women's Evening or through Momentum or something. Or, you know, you hear about dozens and dozens of ministries here at the Vineyard that God is using to transform people's lives, change people's lives. You see people be water baptized, and you see people being discipled here at the Vineyard. You come to the Vineyard, and you experience God through our worship here in a way that really energizes you. You know, you see all that, you experience all that, and I believe that if an ineffective follower of Jesus hangs around the vineyard for very long, they begin to want to make a difference with their own life. However, if that ineffective follower of Jesus doesn't say yes to those promptings in their heart, they will remain ineffective. So this morning, I want to sort of change up the way that I normally teach here on the weekends. And what I want to do today is I want to help any of you who want to remain ineffective in your walk with Jesus to do just that. I mean, if you're here in person or you're online and you want to be a fully ineffective, partially devoted, casually committed, completely stagnant follower of Jesus, then today you've come to the right place, because I'm going to help you to do that. Yes, it's a life that is unsatisfying. Yes, it's a life that will eventually bring regret, but it's sort of a safe life, sort of a comfortable life. And if you want to live just sort of a safe, comfortable life, then today I'm going to give you some ideas on how you can continue to do that. I've called this Habits of Highly Ineffective Followers of Jesus. I've listed five. There's probably a lot more. But the first one is that highly ineffective followers of Jesus edit the Bible. Now, I know, usually, highly ineffective followers of Jesus don't even read the Bible, right? But we all own one. And so the great fear is that one day we're going to have, you know, maybe an earthquake or something here in Phoenix, and the Bible will be shaken off of the shelf that it's on, and it'll fall on the floor, and it'll open up to some convicting verse that you might have to read. And so what do you want to be able to do if that happens? You want to be able to edit Scripture. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, you have to learn to read the Bible in such a way that it allows you to do whatever you want to do, no matter what the Bible says. That's the goal. Let me give you an example. In Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 15, Jesus says, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, I will spit you out of my mouth. Literally, I will vomit you up. That's what that word is there. Verse 17, you say, I'm rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, if you're a highly ineffective follower of Jesus, you read verses like this and you're like, yikes, those are some convicting verses. So what do you do about that? Well, you need to edit them. And there are several ways that you can do this. One way is what Thomas Jefferson did. Thomas Jefferson, one of our former presidents, he didn't believe in miracles or the supernatural or healing or any of that. So he literally took his Bible and he took a knife and he literally cut out every verse in his Bible that had anything to do with miracles, the supernatural, healing, anything like that. So that's one way you can do it. The problem is your Bible ends up looking like paper dolls because there's so much in the Bible that talks about the supernatural. And the truth is, there are lots and lots of verses in the Bible that I would like to pretend aren't there. You know, verses like, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Forgive those who hurt you. It's better to give than to receive. You know, all of that. Verses like that, those are difficult verses. And sometimes we just want to sort of mentally edit them out and pretend like they don't exist. And especially we feel that way about verses that have to do with forgiveness. You know, over the years as a pastor, I've been a pastor for a long time, I've talked to literally hundreds of people about forgiveness. And I've had a lot of people say to me things like over the years, not only am I never going to forgive, fill in the blank, my ex, my boss, my friend, you know, the person who stabbed me in the back, not only am I never going to forgive them, but I don't even want to try. What's that person doing? They're editing the Lord's Prayer. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6, and in verse 12 he said to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So when a person says something like that, what they're saying is, I know better than Jesus does. And I'm making the decision that I'm going to edit that out of my Bible and pretend like it doesn't exist. But see, the truth is, the degree to which we refuse to apply those challenging and difficult verses to our life is the degree to which we will end up being highly ineffective followers of Jesus. That's like saying, I'm going to live my life any way I want to, regardless of what God says. And I want you to know, if you make that kind of decision, that will lead you down a path of disappointment, pain, and regret. So that's the first habit of highly ineffective followers of Jesus. They edit the Bible. Second habit of highly ineffective followers of Jesus is that they live an unexamined life also. You say, well, Brian, what does that mean? Well, living an unexamined life means that you never really try to look into the depth of your soul and come face to face with the truth about who you are as a person. It means you don't look deep inside of yourself and ask yourself tough questions. You don't ask yourself things like, you know, what is it about me that compels me to keep committing this same sin over and over and over? I mean, what is it about me? What are the dynamics in my past? Or what is it about my personality? Or what from my family of origin is causing me to go down this same path time and time again? Living an unexamined life means that you never question your motives. You never confront your frailties. You never deal with the dysfunctional aspects of who you are as a person. You never ask yourself questions like, am I really a godly mom to my children? Am I really a godly dad to my children? Am I really behaving like a godly spouse? You never ask yourself, am I a godly person at work? You never go to God in prayer and say, God, what's the next step that you want me to take in my spiritual development? You never ask, you know, what's the legacy that I want to leave behind after I die? You never ask yourself, what might God be able to do with my life that instead of giving him 20% of my life, actually gave him 100%. You never ask questions like that. tough questions. Instead, an ineffective follower of Jesus decides to sort of just dog paddle around in the shallow end of life. Now, if you're going to live an unexamined life, whatever you do, you need to stay away from verses like Psalm 139, 23 and 24, which, by the way, just parenthetically, these are verses that I try to pray every morning, and I pray them every time before I take communion, where David is praying. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." In fact, if you want to remain an ineffective follower of Jesus, you might just want to take out a black magic marker and mark Psalm 139, 23, and 24 out of your Bible. So how can you ensure that you will just skim the surface of life instead of ever going deep? I'm going to give you three steps to true ineffectiveness. The first step, if you truly want to be ineffective, is fill your life with noise. That's a very effective technique. Just fill your life with lots and lots of noise. And it's not hard to do. You know, when you get up in the morning, make sure the first thing you do is turn on the TV. Or make sure the first thing you do is put on some kind of music. Have some kind of noise going on. On your way to work in your car, make sure you turn the radio on, you have a podcast on, something. When you get to work, make sure there's background noise going on, maybe music or whatever, all the time. On your way home, again, make sure the radio's on in the car, or the podcast, or whatever, so you don't have any time to think. And then when you finally get home, turn on the news while you're eating dinner, and then just sink into your favorite chair and stream all kinds of stuff until you fall asleep. You say, "Well, why would I do that?" Because I want you to know, if there's a lot of noise around, you can never really hear God speak to you. And see, that's important if you want to remain really ineffective. You never want to hear God speak to you. All right, second step for true ineffectiveness is not only fill your life with noise, but also fill your life with activity, busyness. Make sure you never have any kind of margin in your life, so you have no time to think, no time to breathe. Make sure you just go through life as fast as you can. Why? Again, so you can never hear God. Yeah, God says, you know, in Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I'm God." That's something you never want to do if you want to remain ineffective. Third step to true ineffectiveness is fill your relational world with superficial relationships. You know, make sure all of your friendships are the kind of friendships where all you ever talk about is the Phoenix Suns, the Diamondbacks, the weather, you know, just innocuous things. Make sure you avoid all challenging relationships. In fact, here's another great verse to edit out of your Bible. "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another," Proverbs 27:17. In fact, let me just say, you might as well just rip the entire book of Proverbs out of your Bible. I mean, the whole thing. Proverbs is just trouble. It really is. So just make sure you rip out the entire book. Now, you might say, "Well, why would I want to have these kind of shallow, superficial friendships?" Well, it's been my experience that the times that I've seen the most growth in my spiritual life are the times where I've spent time with people who are challenging to me. I grow spiritually when I'm around other people who set the bar really high, because it causes me to aspire. It causes me to question, it causes me to want to emulate what I'm seeing in this other person's life. And if you want to be an ineffective follower of Jesus, make sure you never do that. Just fill your life with superficial friends. You know, people who are stagnant, people who are visionless, people who are satisfied with just sort of skimming the surface of life. And when you hear some people in the church maybe talking about how they're learning to do life together with some other followers of Jesus by being part of a small group with them or something, make sure you stick your fingers in your ears. Don't listen to that, and just say to yourself over and over and over, I don't need other people. I don't need other people. I don't need other people. I can do this all by myself. I want you to do that because that's a great prescription for staying highly ineffective. That kind of unexamined life, you know, the noise, the busyness, the superficial friendships, will help you stay mired in mediocrity. All right, the third habit of highly ineffective followers of Jesus is that they treat God only as a friend. Now, this illustrates a technique that ineffective followers of Jesus develop. They take something that's spiritually true, but they overemphasize one spiritual truth while overlooking a whole bunch of other spiritual truths. So they tend to get a very skewed and distorted perspective of the Christian life. For example, in this case, it's totally true to say Jesus Christ can be your friend. That's totally true. In fact, Jesus says that about himself. He says in John 15:14, "You are my friends if you do what I command." You can just edit that last part out. Just put a period after friends. You are my friend. That's spiritually true. Jesus Christ has been my friend for over 40 years. He's been my most loyal friend. He's been my best friend. He's never left me. He's never let me down. He's been the most intimate, loving friend that a person could ever have. And I know that's true for many of you in this room. So all of that is true. Jesus can really be your friend. However, that's not all Jesus is. And if you only see Jesus as your friend, you've missed a whole bunch of scripture. Think about it this way. Friends don't give friends commandments. But Jesus does. Friends just kind of give other friends suggestions, right? They can take it or leave it. Friends are not someone that you're commanded to worship. We're commanded to worship Jesus. A friend doesn't stand ultimately in judgment over you. But Jesus does. You don't give reverence to a friend. You don't give awe to a friend. Yes, Jesus Christ is my friend. But he's also much more than my friend. In fact, look at the Apostle John says in his vision in Revelation 5. He says, "Then I looked again, and I heard the singing of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and the living beings and the elders. And they sang in a mighty chorus, 'The Lamb,'" that's Jesus, "'the Lamb is worthy. The Lamb who was killed, he's worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea." That doesn't really leave out anybody, does it? "They also sang, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne,'" that's God the Father, "'and to the Lamb,'" that's Jesus, "'forever and ever.' And the four living beings said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped God and the Lamb." See, that's Jesus. Jesus deserves my awe. Jesus deserves my praise. Jesus deserves my worship. And he deserves all of that because that's who Jesus is. He is the Lord Almighty. And he is not just our friend. All right, the fourth habit of highly ineffective followers of Jesus is that they live like chameleons. Now, you know what a chameleon is, right? They blend into whatever their surroundings are. They're sort of like the stealth reptile. That's what ineffective followers of Jesus are like. They blend in to whatever surroundings they happen to be. You know, on Sundays, the chameleon follower of Jesus might be in church, at least occasionally. But Monday through Friday, the chameleon follower of Jesus is at work or at school or at the grocery store or the neighborhood, whatever. And he or she just blends in to whatever their surroundings happen to be at that moment. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, they laugh at the off-color jokes and the sexist remarks. And they may even make a few of their own. They participate in the backstabbing and the office politics and the gossip. And when friends swear and cuss and make a mockery of the name of Jesus, chameleon followers of Jesus find themselves doing the same thing. When they happen to be around racists, they're racist. When they happen to be around people who are taking drugs or getting drunk, they do the same thing. You might say, well, Brian, how would I know if I happen to be a chameleon follower of Jesus or not? Here's the test. Does anybody where you work or where you go to school or anybody in your neighborhood even have one hint that you're a follower of Jesus? If not, then you are a chameleon follower of Jesus. Now, let me clarify. I'm not talking about people at your workplace or people in your neighborhood or whatever who are also followers of Jesus, knowing that you're a follower of Jesus. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who are not followers of Jesus. They're very far from God. Do any of them know that you are a follower of Jesus? And by the way, there's a word for a person who lives like a chameleon follower of Jesus. You know, for a person who adapts to whoever they're around, acts like whoever they're around, you know what that word is? It's called a hypocrite. A hypocrite. Now, I know, highly ineffective followers of Jesus, they don't like to be told things like that. But that's what chameleon followers of Jesus are. They're hypocrites. And if you happen to be that way, the truth is, your life will never begin to change until you confront your chameleon Christianity. You have to confront it, and you have to say, no more. I am not going to just blend in to whoever I happen to be around. Some of you need to do that. You need to say no more. I'm not going to just blend in any longer. And by the way, if you do want to continue living as a chameleon follower of Jesus, one verse that you need to make sure you edit out of the Bible is what Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 24, where he said, no one can serve two masters. No one. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Can't do it. You need to make sure you edit that out. Just forget that advice. I mean, what does Jesus know anyway? I mean, who does Jesus think he is? God or something? Just edit that out. Because if you do that, then you'll be able to comfortably live in the ranks of highly ineffective followers of Jesus. Let me give you one last habit of highly ineffective followers of Jesus. they keep quiet about their faith. And the reason they have to do that is because if they don't, they'll blow their cover. I mean, how can a chameleon follower of Jesus keep being a chameleon follower of Jesus if they're telling other people about Jesus, right? You can't blend in that way. Highly ineffective followers of Jesus will definitely need to edit out what Jesus said, the very last thing that Jesus said before he ascended into heaven 2,000 years ago. He said in Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." Who is this spoken to? Originally to the disciples that were around him when he was being ascended into heaven. But it's given to all of us as his followers. "Go therefore," this is to you, "and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Make sure you edit that out. But you know what happens? Sometimes, even highly ineffective followers of Jesus get caught in a situation that they can't get out of. They find themselves in a situation where they just have to talk about their faith. So if that happens to you, what you need to do is you need to be as inept and as dorky and as ineffective as you can possibly be. Just come off as a complete weirdo. Why? Because that way nobody will ever ask any more questions about your faith in the future. And whatever you do, don't think about people's eternity. Make sure you block that out of your mind. Don't ever think about the fact that your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, your coworkers. Don't think about the fact that when they first hear about how much they matter to God and they end up opening their life to Jesus, how much that would change their life for all of eternity. Man, don't think about that. Don't think about the emotional healing that God would bring into their life if they just surrendered their life to Jesus. Don't think about the destructive patterns in their life that are ruining their life and hurting their families that Jesus would change if they would just meet him. And whatever you do, don't think about their kids. Don't think about their kids. Don't think about what would happen if a mom or a dad met Jesus and then began to create a godly environment in their home. Don't think about how those kids would benefit and how generations to come would benefit. Don't think about the purpose and meaning that God would infuse into that person's life. In fact, don't even think about them as people. Because the danger is, if you begin to think about people as real human beings, then you have to think about the real places of heaven and hell. And you have to think about the real choices that people make and the real eternal destinations that people are going to. So make sure you never talk to people about God in just sort of a natural, normal way. Whenever you talk about God, just be as weird as you possibly can. And whatever you do, never, ever, ever invite someone to the vineyard. Because if you might invite them to the vineyard, they might come. And if they came, God might change their life. Don't ever do that. And whatever you do, make sure you block out the words of the Apostle Paul and edit it out of your Bible where he says in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek." Did you get everyone who believes? The gospel is available to everyone. So make sure you just block that out of your mind. So we've covered a lot of ground today, haven't we? Hopefully I've given you some great ideas on how you can remain being an ineffective follower of Jesus, but it's so much information. Let's review for a moment, all right? Habits of highly ineffective followers of Jesus. What do? First of all, they edit the Bible. Second of all, they live an unexamined life, meaning lots of noise, lots of activity. All their friendships are superficial. Third of all, they treat God only as a friend. Fourthly, they live like chameleons. And last of all, they never talk about their faith. Let me conclude this message with seven words. May this never be so about you. Amen? Let's pray. God, I pray that you would forgive us for any times in the past where we've fallen into these traps of becoming ineffective because of maybe the way we edit the Bible or the way that we just never really examine our life deeply. The way sometimes, God, we treat you only as a friend and not like the God of the universe. God, forgive us when we live like chameleons and just blend into whoever we're around. We don't want to do that. And God, especially forgive us when we're just quiet about our faith, never inviting people to church, never looking for opportunities to share our faith with others. God, forgive us for all the times that we've fallen into those kinds of ruts. And I pray, Lord, for every person, myself included, both online and in person, God, that you would give us the grace and the strength to never become an ineffective follower of Jesus. We want to be effective, Lord. Help us to be effective in our walk with you. And I pray right now, Holy Spirit, just in these last moments, that if there's something that you want to highlight in each person's life, something that we need to work on personally, Lord, I pray that you'd point it out right now. We want to live lives where we ask you difficult questions about ourselves, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. If there's something that comes to mind to you right now, that's the Holy Spirit. And you need to make sure you get that right with God before you leave. Those thoughts are not just random thoughts. Those are thoughts from the Holy Spirit. May 2024 be a year for all of us, God, that we're very effective in our walk with you. Help us to follow you, Lord, as closely as we possibly can. Help our church end up being a church filled with effective followers of Jesus who are in love with you, Lord. You know, maybe you'd like to receive prayer for something in your life personally before you go. Maybe it has to do with health. I know there's sicknesses going around. Maybe you need a new job. Maybe you have a relational difficulty. Anything. If you'd like prayer for anything at all, we'd love to pray for you. We're going to have a ministry team up here at the front. I'm going to dismiss the service just one moment. But if you'd like to stick around and come to the front afterwards, we'd love to pray for you. If you're online and you'd like to receive prayer, just click the prayer button. Would you please stand? I want to pray a blessing over us. And if the ministry team would come to the front. Lord, thank you for your presence with us today. And I pray as my friends go, God, bless them. Bless them, keep them, cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them. Lift up your favor upon them, God, and give them peace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you next weekend.